Welcome to the Off the Charts Football Podcast, Thanksgiving edition. I am Matt Manicharian, former NFL scout and now of Sports Info Solutions, joined by Aaron Schatz, the godfather of football analytics and founder of Football Outsiders. We've got our producer, Justin Stein, with us as always, and we are here to break down the most important games of the week, even if it's a moving target.
Yeah, I was going to wish happy Thanksgiving to everybody, but a special happy Thanksgiving to all of the healthy Baltimore Ravens, and may they please stay healthy so that the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, which is no longer being on Thanksgiving night, actually takes place on Sunday, because if they have an even bigger outbreak than they've already had, we may not be getting that game at all. So let's hope that everybody has a happy, healthy holiday.
Yeah, selfishly sad that I won't be able to watch it, but I'll have that much more comfortable of a nap after I finish my meal, I guess.
Yeah, the good news about the move, I mean, there's no good news about the move because it happened because of COVID. But the only good thing about it is now we get to preview that game because it's on Sunday instead of Thursday, and it's actually the most important game of the week.
So the most important game of the week, and you mentioned Baltimore health. Obviously, COVID health is one thing. Their offensive line health has been another thing. It's been a recurring theme that we've been talking about as we've been breaking them down. They moved a whole bunch of people around last week, moving, I think, McCarry, it was, inside to center. Fluker was in and out of the game. This just continues to be a problem for them. The upfront is an issue. And then last week against the Titans, they were really worn down defensively without Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell. So I think it's a tough attrition matchup for Baltimore in this one against the undefeated Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, it's the funny thing is it's not just the missing offensive lineman causes a problem with run blocking, but also pass blocking, right? And you know the passing game for Baltimore has really been struggling this year. And now you're facing the defense that has the highest pressure rate in the league. You know, the Steelers are number one in defensive pressure, and they sacked Jackson four times the first time these teams played. So back in week eight, you know, the Steelers only won 28-24. It was kind of a back and forth game, but they really dominated passing the ball. They had a 37% DVOA passing that game, and the Ravens were at minus 43% even after the strong positive adjustments for having to face the Steelers' defense, which is the best in the league.
So that's interesting because we know Pittsburgh doesn't like to run the ball. They're in the bottom half of the league in terms of rushing attempts in the first half of games. So, you know, when you came to the Tennessee matchup without Williams and Campbell, I think that was a really big issue that wore on into overtime throughout that one for the Ravens. Against Pittsburgh, they're going to drop back and throw the ball. So at least that won't be as much of an impact. Maybe from a matchup standpoint, there's something that plays a little bit to the Ravens' advantage there, which is, you know, that their secondary is healthy and they've got those guys back there. So maybe on that side of the ball, but still, it's hard to figure out how they're going to mix it up offensively to kind of neutralize that Pittsburgh upfront game.
Yeah, here's the surprise is that Baltimore's known for the depth of the secondary, and yeah, they're healthy. But actually this year, they're 22nd in DVOA against number one wide receivers and 25th against number two wide receivers. They're number one against other wide receivers, but, you know, so I don't know who counts as what for Pittsburgh, because their wide receivers are so good that there isn't a clear 1-2-3, but the secondary has not been as good for the Ravens this year as it had been in past years.
I don't have a good sense for how they'll match up with them. I'm not sure exactly which guy you want on which of those Steeler receivers. They all kind of bring little different things to the table, obviously with Juju on the inside. So those outside guys could be an opportunity for Johnson, for Claypool. One name that I wanted to give a shout out just while we're previewing this one who doesn't get enough love on the Steelers defense is Cameron Hayward. I think it'd be hard to mention his name enough. He only has two sacks so far this year, but 29 pressures so far. He's outstanding for them and a big part of the reason, you know, TJ Watt gets the love, sure, but he's a big part of the reason why they're just tough to deal with. And it's not just in the run game when we talk about the big guys, it's the pass game too.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you want Pittsburgh to have challenges on their attempt to do the undefeated season because those are the most interesting games. And theoretically, this should be one of the bigger challenges, but I mean, you're right. The Ravens are kind of beaten up at this point. What do you think about the Pittsburgh going 16-0? What do you think about the possibilities? We have them doing it in less than 20% of our simulations, but The game that really stands out as the hardest is at Buffalo in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it seems unlikely to me, just as it seems unlikely always, just the way football goes any given Sunday. Even with the way the Baltimore is injured right now, this is a game where you're talking about two teams that know each other so well, a rivalry game, kind of all bets are off. I think those sort of things are what makes me think that Pittsburgh does lose at some point. You know, coming into the year, I thought Baltimore was the better team. Obviously, it hasn't come together offensively. That said, the way they've been mixing things around up front and trying to solve some problems, Orlando Jones has been just fine on the left side there. The left side of the line has stabilized. It's a matter of figuring out. I think Fluker's been the real problem in what I've observed. So maybe they can figure out a way to stabilize that unit, even without, you know, the guys that they've lost from Stanley, and then, you know, before the season even started. So I'm not bullish on the Steelers going 16-0 because I don't think that they're tangibly that much better. Even though they're undefeated, I think there are four or five teams that are right in the same tier as they are in terms of quality.
Yeah, you're right about this being the close matchup of the division rivals, but given what's going on in Baltimore, it feels more likely that Buffalo or Indianapolis is the team that's going to beat Pittsburgh. Okay, let's do the second most important game for the Super Bowl. And this is one that a lot of people are talking about as a passing of the baton, although I think the baton was already passed last year. Kansas City at Tampa Bay.
And in this one, we're talking about obviously two of the most explosive offensive teams. I think that neither of these teams can really cover either of the other team. Tampa Bay's defense has been better so far this year. I don't think either team can actually cover the other one, though. When I look at this game, I think you have to attack the offensive lines. I think the offensive lines are the weak spots for both of these offenses. I like Tampa Bay's ability a little bit more to try to harass the Kansas City offensive line than I do Kansas City's ability to harass Tampa Bay's. But ultimately, that's what I look at. And I look at that, you know, if you can make Brady keep butting heads with Arians, that's the secret sauce to beating this Tampa Bay team.
Yeah, this is the game in which I think the Tampa wants to really go more towards what Brady's used to on offense rather than what Arians is used to on offense, because Kansas City's defense is second in DVOA against deep passes. And we know, we've seen stats all over the place about Brady's serious struggles with the deep pass over the last 4 weeks. The one thing about the short passes is it really helps when your running backs catch the passes to them. There is no James White on this team, man. There is just no dependable running back for those outlet passes that Brady likes to throw.
Yeah, all of the stuff that we talked about going into the year, like, can this mesh together? Will somehow Brady being different than Arians, that they'll bring out the best in each other? There have been some growing pains as we've gone throughout the year, no doubt about it. I don't want to sleep on the fact, too, that Steve Spagnuolo is the Kansas City defensive coordinator, and he's somebody that Brady, we know, has had his issues with in the past. So it'll be really intriguing to see kind of how the chess game plays out as far as that matchup.
Yeah, Brady's struggled with pressure this year, and every time I watch Tampa Bay, it's Donovan Smith giving stuff up at left tackle.
Yep, he's a perennial leader on the Blown Blocks leaderboard. He's a guy that, I'll tell you, I loved him as a prospect coming out of Penn State, and he's been a starter for them every year, been pretty durable for them, got a second contract, but he's never been good. He's just really never been good there. And sometimes you see Brady get pissed at him.
Oh, here's an interesting trend that I discovered and then sort of undiscovered, by the way. So it kind of goes here. Speaking of the Kansas City offense and the Tampa Bay defense, Tampa Bay is 24th this year against passes to the left side of the field, but first against passes to the right side of the field. And I went to look how much of that was specific cornerbacks. And it's interesting because Carlton Davis, who's been really good this year, he's on the offensive right more often than the offensive left, but it's not like they generally play cornerbacks by sides. I think they have Davis follow their best receiver. So I just thought that was a really interesting and weird split.
Yeah, he's a really interesting player, and I actually had pulled a couple of numbers on him too. Tons of targets in his direction this year, and he's given up some yards. He's given up over 300 yards in completions, but just 46% completion percentage and two touchdowns allowed against 10 PBUs, four interceptions, and four tackles for loss. So he's fourth in total points amongst defensive backs, somebody that has been a boom or bust. He's been on both sides of the equation at different times throughout the year, but is a real kind of important part of what they do defensively, seem to always be around the ball.
The other thing to watch for here, I think, the Chiefs, obviously, Mahomes, everyone knows, is really good in third and long. The offense ranks second in the league behind, surprisingly, the Chargers in third and long. Tampa Bay's defense drops to 22nd in DVOA on third and long. So even if they stop the Chiefs on early downs, watch out for Mahomes on those later downs. It is hard to get him off the field.
He is absolutely unbelievable. Looking forward to this matchup because he'll have his hands full with that Tampa defense. But I think you could say that both ways for sure. SISBets.com is back for 2020. And if you didn't make use of it last year, you missed out on easy money. SISBets.com is an advanced prop betting information tool powered by Sports Info Solutions. With it, you can leverage the power of our proven projections models to find value against the odds. You're never more than a few clicks away from knowing whether your favorite wide receiver is likely to score a touchdown this week or whether a quarterback that you have your eye on is likely to go over or under his completions prop. Just choose the bet type, the player, and the money line to see the SIS Bets recommendation. SISBets.com is available for just $9.99 per month, so it easily pays for itself, and that price covers both football and baseball. That means you can also take advantage of our most popular bet type, home run projections, which our users rode to a very solid 12% ROI in 2019. Sign up at SISBets.com. All right, let's keep it going. What do we have next for the most important playoff games this week?
For the playoffs, for making the playoffs, the most important game is Chicago at Green Bay, which is the Sunday nighter. This is hugely important for Chicago, which gets in to the playoffs 61% of the time with a win, but only 25% of the time if they lose. It's also important for Green Bay, 98% with a win, 81% with a loss. You know, they're trying to get the number one seed, but it's hugely, hugely important for Chicago, which is, you know, out of the playoffs if the season ended today.
Yeah, this is another one of these matchups where Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay offense are going up against a really, really tough defense. Last week it was the Colts. The Colts really like to play zone, and they stayed stubborn with that a lot of the game, except for in some key situations. Chicago will be a lot more multiple in what they do, so I think they will show a bit more man to this Green Bay team. Try to double Devontae Adams and make somebody else beat you. I think it's an interesting game kind of for how strong both teams are when it's going to be that matchup, and then equally so how weak it is kind of when Chicago has the ball against Green Bay.
Yeah, you talked about Adams. Chicago is number one in DVOA against number one wide receivers. They still allow 58 yards a game, but only a 54% catch rate. And I agree with you the other way around. The Packers, like, they've been weak, but they're weaker when they take a big lead. Like, they tend to fritter away big leads on defense. I don't know if I see Nick Foles really clawing his way back very well, but the Packers are also susceptible to deep passes, but Foles is near the bottom of the league in deep passes.
It's hard to picture a real way that the Nick Foles-led Bears develop some sort of an offense out of thin air. It's been inconsistent for the Packers defense, but it's been consistently bad for that Chicago offense. You talked about the number one against number one wide receivers. Kyle Fuller is tied for the league lead in points saved amongst defensive backs. So that's another area where our statistics definitely match one another. Just the names on that defense between Kyle Fuller, Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack, and Akeem Hicks, these guys are all high on the total points leaderboard. If they had any semblance of an offense in Chicago, it would be really compelling. But I think this is probably lights out for their season if Green Bay can come and take care of business.
I mean, here's what I think Chicago needs to do, and this will be a little surprising, but looking at the numbers, I figured out they need to pass a lot on first down and not run. They're dead last running on first downs, but they're 16th passing on first down, and they're bad on second and third down. So the best thing for Chicago is just to avoid second and third down, especially third down, by passing and getting chunks on first down rather than handing the ball off.
How many times do you think you could say that to NFL teams and without it ever getting through? to almost anybody.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, specifically having to do with the weaknesses and strengths of the Chicago offense. I mean, strength is being 16th in the league. You know, strength is a relative term here, but you know, given where they're okay and bad, like that would seem to be the strategy.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
One last game for this week. Let's talk about Tennessee at Indianapolis. Tennessee makes the playoffs 94% of the time with a win, 73% with a loss. Indianapolis, 95% with a win, 66% of the time with the loss. The winner of this game takes over the division. And, of course, they met just 2 weeks ago. It was 34-17 Colts, but it's a little the Colts won big with special teams, a block punt for a touchdown. There was a shanked 17-yard punt by Tennessee. They missed a field goal. Like, it's unlikely that there's going to be that big a game on special teams again for the Colts.
It hasn't been an aberration for Tennessee this year to not be good on special teams.
No, their special teams have been bad all year. That is absolutely true.
But as always, it's very hard to predict that going forward, that you're going to have more punt blocks and things like that that just don't occur very often.
Tannehill had a good passing day in that game, especially considering the Colts' defense, but they contained him for just 147 passing yards. He had efficiency, but he didn't pass that much. They ran. Henry got his, but it's just the special teams mishaps just completely screwed them over.
Right, and that's the Tennessee MO, and it'll be more of that this week. Last week, Tennessee, we talked about it earlier, benefiting from the injuries on the Baltimore defensive front with Williams and Campbell. This week, they'll benefit from the absence of DeForest Buckner for the Colts. I just saw on the ticker that he's going to be out on the COVID list for this game. So that's a huge loss for the Colts defense. So much of what they do and the double teams that they force up front and the way that you have to play against their defense is kind of predicated on him. That said, there are lots of other players that they have back there, but that's certainly one little thing that plays into Tennessee's advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I will note about the Colts defense that they're very good at is preventing yards after the catch. And we know that's A.J. Brown's game. A.J. Brown averages 7.2 yards after the catch, but the Colts allow below average 3.8 yards after the catch to wide receivers. So it's not just like Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner and guys up front for the Colts. Like, they're getting good play on the back end too.
And then flipping it around, looking at kind of things from a Colts perspective, I don't know what you saw of the fourth quarter of their game against Green Bay, but it was penalties on penalties on penalties. I'm sure the Colts, they felt like they were beating not just the Packers, but also the Zebras as they were going into that one as well. I don't expect to see anything like that repeat this week. What I can't figure out how to project still is how good is Phillip Rivers at this point? I'm perplexed as I evaluate him, whether it's the eye test, whether it's the numbers. There's always something muddy that makes me unsure about whatever I'm looking at.
Well, the thing is, he's not going to get pressured because the Titans defense is dead last in the league in pressure rate, and the Colts offense is near the top of the league in preventing pressure. So, I mean, Rivers does get to sit back there and make the passes he wants to make. But it's always hard to judge Phillip Rivers with the eye test because the way that he shot puts the ball, you're like, that should not be getting to the receiver.
Right.
Yet it does.
You think, looking back at that game, like you said, just based on the score, you think, oh, wow, now they're coming back to Indianapolis. No reason to think that this should be a problem. But again, another one of these division rivalry games. And Tennessee is going to do everything they can to make this into a slugfest. We talked about how the Colts like to throw the ball to their running backs. Tennessee is going to be handing this off over and over again.
Especially with no DeForest Buckner.
All right. On that note, we will sign off. We will wish all of the listeners a very happy Thanksgiving. What can they check out on footballoutsiders.com this weekend?
Well, we've got an article on the best and worst Thanksgiving days ever, at least as good as the football games are. There's a really good walkthrough coming Thursday morning. I won't spoil it, but it's hilarious. And Any Given Sunday went back and looked at the Broncos over the Dolphins and giving Justin Simmons his due.
Yeah, Justin Simmons, absolutely. Another player that gets slept on too much. I couldn't agree with you more there. You can check out Sports Info Solutions on Twitter. We're at sportsinfo_SIS. We also have football and baseball separate accounts now. You can check out the free SIS Data Hub by going to sisdatahub.com. And you can also find some good prop bets to make for your Thanksgiving Day snooze fest of a schedule on sisbets.com. There you can find all of your prop bet recommendations. For my co-host Aaron Schatz and our producer Justin Stein, I'm Matt Manicharian, and thank you for joining us for the latest episode of the Off the Charts Football Podcast.